Let me just, because I still need to be this high. Last week, I think it'd be worth your time if you didn't hear it to go listen to it. One of the things I said was don't take your negative baggage of 2025 into 2026. We are never, never, never too old to make adjustments in our lives. Old dogs can learn new tricks. They really can. But I want to say this. We are never, never, never too young to make positive adjustments too. Example, Maddox. If your free throw shot is off and you can't make one to save your life, a good coach is going to watch you. He's going to watch your technique, and he's going to go in there, and he's going to make adjustments and tell you what to do. Bend your knees, do the whatever. I'm not a coach. And your job is to listen and to make those adjustments. So you're successful again, right? So today I'm going to teach you about family iniquities. So let me just say this. Iniquities is a big subject. I'm taking a piece and I'm bringing it over here and going to talk about family iniquities. I'm not touching everything, okay? I'm not touching sin. I'm not touching transgressions. I'm talking about iniquities. Everybody say, okay. All right. I think you're going to find this helpful. So first, what is an iniquity? Can you give me Exodus? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water and under the sea. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So, God says he visits the iniquity of the people that hate him, of the fathers, to the third and fourth generation, but also shows mercy to the thousands that keep his commandments. Iniquity of the fathers, or parents, to the third and fourth generation. Parents, every single thing that we do affects our great-grandchildren. It would be wonderful if we could do anything we wanted to do, and it affected only us, and it didn't affect our children, but it does. The word iniquity, this is it, means to bend or twist. Means to bend or twist. The Hebrew word for iniquity is avon, A-V-O-N, just like Avon. It literally means to bend. Have you ever seen a young tree that you planted maybe, or a young something, and it continually be blown by the wind in a prevailing direction, and after a while the tree bends if you don't stake it up? That tree begins to grow in that direction. That's what iniquity is. It means you, and I'm talking about family iniquity. I'm not doing the whole thing. I'm taking a piece of it, and I'm talking about that. It means you were raised by an influence in your home or culture when you were growing up. But it makes a deep impression on our lives. So let me say this. No parent's perfect. No parent's perfect. And I am not here to bash parents or our parents. But if we were raised righteously, we grow up straight. But if we grow up around sin, abuse, negative behavior, we have a bent toward that in families. People have a certain bent like their parents. So here's an example of that. There were two men historically in 1906. A study was released in the 18th century of descendants of evangelist Jonathan Edwards and another man named Max Jukes. The two men were total opposites. Max Jukes was a drunk with very low morals. Jonathan Edwards and his wife raised their family in a strong Christian environment. As of 1906, here's a record of the known descendants of Jonathan Edwards and his wife. There were 14 college presidents, more than 100 college professors, more than 100 lawyers, 30 judges, 60 physicians, more than 100 clergymen, missionaries, and theology professors, 60 authors, 3 senators, and 1 vice president of the United States. That came from one couple. They're known descendants. They raised them righteously in a godly home. Max Jukes didn't raise his family. He would disappear for days and then come home drunk. It's estimated that Max Jukes and his family, his descendants, had by 1906 cost New York $12 million. It'd be about $100 million in today's thing. Since the 18th century, the Jukes have produced 310 descendants in poverty, 150 criminals, 100 drunks, 7 murderers, and half of his descendants were prostitutes. The truth is, our lives are generationally connected. They have the power to transmit righteousness or sin, healing or unhealth, blessing or curse, wealth or poverty, education or ignorance, pleasure or pain. Everyone has had iniquities. Everyone, all of us here. So don't go around saying, I ain't got no iniquities. We've all had them. But the great news is you can take the iniquities, the bent, and straighten it up. Iniquities is any behavior you were raised around and have a bent toward. So let me give you a story about me. This is not a major, but it could have turned you mad. I was raised in a loving home. No doubt about it. I knew I was a loved girl. But I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I wasn't taken to church. We didn't do Bible studies. We didn't, you know, I couldn't have told you who Mark, Luke, and John were. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But when Gavin and I got married, of course, we were both Christians by then. But soon after we were married, I thought you were supposed to pout and be depressed about something on Friday night. So even though I was madly in love and didn't have a thing in the world to be depressed about, I did it anyway. I pulled that on Gavin right after we got married. I remember it specifically. Well, he wasn't having any of that. I'm just going to tell you right now. I couldn't figure out why I would do that. Why would I act that way? Then the Holy Spirit showed me that had always been my daddy's M.O. He always did that. It's just something he did on a regular basis. And I was bent towards that. You see what I'm saying? You put a few bents from him and a few bents from her, and if they're not dealt with, when you have a marriage, it can be full of iniquity. In other words, you're coming in with a lot of baggage. That's a minor thing compared to what hurt people can bring to a marriage. Gavin took care of that real quick, and then I took care of it. You can stop putting an end to all iniquities. You can stop transferring iniquities to the next generation. So we can be the beginning of a blessed bloodline. Gavin and I did that. We sat down and we say, no more of that from that side, no more of that from that side. We weren't perfect, but we were godly parents. Now, divorce, if it's not dealt with properly, and let me say this, and God can absolutely heal all damage from divorce, but it can affect generations if not dealt with properly. An iniquity as a child You grow with a bent if you are exposed to negative behavior. That was me for many years. Rather than growing right in that particular area. Now, you might have a tendency toward a negative behavior or a sin because of the constant influence, the constant mismodeling, the constant negative effect of that behavior on you. I was raised in a negative household. I was. I'm probably one of the most positive people to be around. Is that right, Jane? Thank you. As a little girl, you don't know if it's even wrong. Or as a child, you don't know that it's wrong, what's wrong. You just know your parents are doing it. A kid's video recorder and audio recorder are going on 24/7, 7 days a week. Sam and I were sitting there talking the other day about something. Said he was over here playing with the new toys I bought him. All the kids. And his head comes up over the little round table I've got. And he repeats what we said. And they just hear things. And he's over there making noises and playing with the new fire truck. So when they get older, they have a bent in that direction. The wonderful thing is, if you're doing the right thing, they're probably going to do the right thing because you're training them up that way. Iniquity or a bent is a powerful, powerful word. Here are some examples of family iniquities. Some of these things we can do on our own. We can sin without our parents' help. You realize that. Okay. But if our parents did these things, it makes us more probable that we will do these things. And more powerful type of behavior in our lives because we saw mom and dad do it. Anger. How did your parents deal with it? How did they deal with anger? Were they abusive in their anger, explosive, and make an impression on you? Substance abuse. It's generational. And a lot of times people think it's genetic, and maybe some of that is. But if your parents' answer to their problem was to sedate themselves with drugs or alcohol, that's passed on generationally. Example. Boy, I've missed that. I missed those things. I'm sorry. Example. Now, I kind of said something about my family, and I'm going to say something positive. I mean, I think it's positive. Never, ever, 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 ever could I remember alcohol in my mama's refrigerator. Never. It wasn't. So guess what? No alcohol. No alcohol. There was some smoking, but no alcohol. How did your family deal with chauvinism, sexism? How did your parents view the opposite sex? Example. A pastor told this story. He was talking about his great aunt, his grandfather, and his great uncle. Talk about what a lovely lady she was. She was always busy. His grandfather and the grandfather's brother, they never did anything for themselves. Their wives waited on them hand and foot. So this pastor's family, when he was a little boy, they went to visit them in California and they stayed for them. And his dad said to the grandfather and the uncle, "How do you get her to serve you all the time?" His great uncle replied, "There's no use in having a dog and doing your own barking." He was talking about if you have a wife, she's supposed to do all the chores for you. He told a story of his grandfather. He would run out of coffee and he'd reach over and he'd thump the coffee. And his wife would get up and get him more. Non-verbal commands. Not, Chastity, you want to come up here, baby? I'll just give you the whole rest of the time. He would thump his coffee with non-verbal commands. She'd jump up and go do it. He didn't dial the phone on his own. He didn't shave himself. He never did one thing for himself. Now, men don't get any stupid ideas from that. You're smarter and better than this, and you cherish your lives, I know. Women are equal to men in every way. God made women a little bit weaker physically so they wouldn't take over the universe. All right, moving on. Okay. Racism is passed from generation to generation. You don't be born and be a racist. You learn that. You train your children to be racist. Physical abuse, you train them verbal abuse, sexual abuse by your actions. You would think to yourself that anyone that was abused as a child would grow up and never abuse anyone. But the most abusive people are those people who were abused. Now, it doesn't mean if you were abused, you will be abused. It doesn't mean 100% that. It means it's the way it was modeled. If parents got mad and they just slapped you, they hit you, they screamed, they yelled, father abused mother, vice versa, you saw constant abuse growing up. That turns into an iniquity. When kids grow up and stress comes upon your life, what was modeled to them or to you is what you have a greater tendency toward abuse, bigotry, immorality, and negativity. How you see life? Do you see the glass half empty or the glass half full? Are people good or bad? Is there any hope or is it hopeless? Our parents' attitudes around us has a profound effect. Materialism, perfectionism, and conditional love, if they're this way. I love you more if you make A's than when you make D's. Or I love you more if you're the quarterback and not the water boy. I love you more if you're good than when you're bad. That's conditional love. When your parents are doing something around you all the time, it's training you. It doesn't just influence you, it trains you. Good or bad? Good or bad? That's why it says that he'll bless over there in that scripture. So let me list these things again. Some of them. Racism, materialism, greed, gossip, verbal abuse, bigotry, immorality, pride, sexual abuse, negativity, dishonesty, perfectionism, unforgiveness, conditional love, and more. If you were raised around those constantly, we can sin again on our own without any help from our parents. But iniquities are, this is what iniquities are, pre-programmed generational sins. They have a more powerful influence on our lives because that's the way we were trained. So how about money? How did your parents handle money? Were they generous? Good money managers? Or were they greedy? Careless. The way your parents treated other people. How did they handle the opposite sex? Mean, kind, forgiving, respectful, unforgiving, bitter? Attitudes towards submission to God and the Bible. How did your parents handle that? Were they atheist, agnostic, hostile towards God? Do we practice the same things we don't like about our parents? Or do we do the good things we saw them do? All of us come into adulthood with baggage. There's nobody here that can tell me any different. That needs to be dealt with. A woman will say so many times, my husband didn't have this, fill in the blank, whatever, when he grew up. Or a husband might say the same, well, my wife was treated this way, to excuse their behavior. And iniquities not dealt with. It affects your marriage, your parenting, your relationship, and your relationship with God. If not dealt with, it binds us to our past. Anybody understand that? If not dealt with, it'll bind you to your past. So how do we break iniquities? First is just recognize that that's an iniquity. My dad was... Okay, so I don't know this, so I'm not talking to anybody's dad. My dad was drunk and he abused my mother and he was a racist. And you do the same thing and you're still, that's an iniquity and you need to deal with it. You get that? Oh, if my mama was a gossip and I'm a gossip, I need to deal with it. So you just say, Lord, I know I'm a blank, and I verbally abuse, I'm arrogant, I'm sexist. The second step is to take responsibility for your own sin or problem and repent of it. Don't just blame your parents and go through life looking back and say, well, my mom and dad did that. That's just how I was raised. It was my parents' behavior, not it's my behavior. That was them. It didn't have to be me. It's not right, and I don't want, we're talking to God here, and I don't want to be a gossip. I don't want to be an addict. I don't want to be a drunk. I don't want to be a racist. I don't want to be abused. I repent, God, and God immediately forgives. Next, forgive your parents. Whoever was responsible for the baggage, the iniquities that you have. Remember this about your parents. They came with their own baggage growing up. One pastor shared his dad was nonverbal. He never talked to him. Never attaboy, never patted him on the back, never told him he loved him. In fact, he never talked to him growing up. I think for 30-some years, he said nothing, never went to anything. He wasn't a will. He wasn't, you know, he didn't folly all over and do this for you. Never said that. He couldn't figure it out. He couldn't figure out why his dad would treat him that way. There was two other brothers involved too. And one day he was talking to his aunt, and his aunt said his dad, not just his dad, but there was a large family and they were poor growing up, never slept inside. Slept outside. And then when it was cold, they slept in the barn. This was his daddy. He was never treated like a son, like a beloved son. And he began to see, and his mother, come to find out, she had mental health issues, but she was a model. She was beautiful. She modeled and she was on some magazines and all of that. But her dad, he said when they would get together with a bunch of friends, he would come and belittle her in front of her friends, tell her how ugly she was, how she'd never make anything of herself. She had mental illness. The good part of the story is that they both got born again. They're gone now, but they're in heaven. But he was able to understand how his dad never had anything to do with it. He didn't have a model to go after. So your parents come with their own baggage growing up. If your parents were a certain way, and was probably because of their grandparents. See, it's just generational. You can't be free until you forgive them. And even if they are no longer living, forgive them. And here's the kicker. Bless them. Healing in our hearts not only comes from forgiving them, but blessing them. You bless them until you're healed. Now, if you're a person who was sexually abused, God understands. That's going to be a little bit harder. There's more scars there. Have any of you ever heard of Victor Marx? Yeah. He's running for governor of Colorado. Please pray for him. Please pray that he wins. And if you haven't heard his story, it's a real sad one. I mean, he got put in a freezer as a small child, walked off like that. After getting beaten. He's the one that can dismantle someone pointing a gun at you. It's the fastest man on earth. Does that, you point a gun at him, he can take it away and turn it on you before you blink. And he still holds that record. But if you ever get a chance, I think you'd be impressed if you read his story. I follow him. I just really kind of started following him because I thought he was really cute. And I saw the gun thing. But I encourage you. He had one of the most abusive stories you can imagine. And now he's rescued, I'll say this in his behalf, thousands and thousands and thousands of this is really, she's having fun, children that have been stolen or whatever, sex slaves. He's done that. That's been his ministry. Victor Marx. So where was I? Physical, sexual abuse. That's a hard one to overcome. But nevertheless, we have to forgive and we have to start listening. I know that I got to watch what I say here, but there's something that, okay, I'm not going to say it because it might slip. Okay. Submit the affected area of your iniquity or sin to Jesus. Lord, I'm bent. I'm bent. It was raised around legalism, perfectionism, racism. You know, I was unloved. Substance abuse. Holy Spirit, teach me to submit this area to your Lordship. Help me to repair this issue according to the Word of God. John 16 says this very important thing. Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. There is nothing Holy Spirit can't change. Your family can have a bend for 10 generations, but you are the end of it. This iniquity can absolutely be broken in your life. Sin affects 3 or 4 generations, but righteousness affects 1,000 generations. See how generous God is? I said earlier, iniquity is a powerful word, and I'm just lightly touching on what iniquity does to a family. Iniquity entered Adam when he knew better, when he sinned. He knew it was wrong. Eve, I don't want to go, I told you I'm not talking about transgression or sin. I'm talking about iniquity. Eve sinned. Adam knew that it was an iniquity. He started it. Well, he didn't start it. He knew better when he sinned. He became separated from God when he did that. It's a twisting and perverting God's ways into your own will and way. That's what it is. And so, you know, we can't make excuses for people because the Holy Spirit would say, I'll fix it. I'll fix it. I'll fix it. Chastity, give me Psalms 32:1-2. I'm about done. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The root for the word forgiven, there it's nasa in Hebrew. It means to lift up and carry it away. That's what it means, forgiven. To lift it up and carry it away. And Jesus is going to say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'll carry away all of this stuff, all of your stuff. It could read, so blessed is he whose willful rebellion is lifted up and carried away. Thank you, Jesus. Give me Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised. Now, let me tell you what that means. He was crushed. That's what it means. He was crushed for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement, the needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. And like sheep, we've all gone astray. See, it says right there, we've all done it. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has made to light upon him the guilt and iniquity of us all. So what does that mean? It means he took your guilt, he took your twisted, your perverted, your bent ways, and put them on Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was crushed for them. But the chastisement of our shalom, that's the peace. Shalom means peace, prosperity, nothing missing, and nothing broken was upon him. He took all of the rot. Jesus carried more than just missing the mark on Calvary. Just sin. He became the very enemy of the Father himself. That was all laid upon him. Those things that God doesn't want to, all of that, all of those things that I said, the racism, the gossip, all of that, God put all of that on Jesus so we can be forgiven and free. When Jesus came out of that grave, that Adam twisted and bent character allows us to become a new creation that never existed before when we accept him. That's why I said, ain't nobody got a right to be a punching, us be their punching bag. You understand that? Nobody has a right to treat us that way. That ugly, twisted, bent stuff that we may have been exposed to, grow up with and doesn't have to rule us. If you got something, well, I just can't help myself. Yes, you can. Holy Spirit can lead you into all truth. Today, it's been exposed. We know what it is. We know now what iniquity is and what it means to be bent. Satan tried early on to twist us and bend us, twist God's word. Did God really say that? That was the first question in the Bible. Holy Spirit is here to help us. Jesus took our twist, bent nature to the cross. He gave us His shalom, His peace, His prosperity. Nothing missing, nothing broken. We don't have to be stuck. We don't have to be stuck. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. So if there was baggage in 2025, don't you dare carry it in 2026. It's exposed. Say, well, I always wondered why I acted just like my dad in that area. Or I always wondered, you know what I'm saying? Or, let me turn it around. Oh, Mama was loving. I guess I got that from her. You're not bent. That's not a bent issue. But if there was the other things, we're going to get rid of it. The year of 2026 is the big fix. We talked about our country and what that meant last week, but it's also about us. God doesn't want us living defeated, paralyzed in places that we are. We're free. We are free people. And there's a way out. There is a way out for everything. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to cut your wrist to bleed to get it there. All it's just one sincere ask, God help me in this area. I don't want to be this way anymore. I'm going into 2026 free from that guilt anymore. It's done. It's done. Amen? I'm not going to ask you to come up here and pray for you. I think that's a personal thing. In fact,